up to Dav Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. We're at the Mishnah at the top. So we mentioned briefly yesterday, this is kind of the segue into this new topic, that we're going to be discussing the amount of different items that one is, you know, that you have to carry a certain amount of an item in order to be chayav on Shabbos. So the Mishnah says, Hamotzi teven kimlo pipara. For a person who carries out a straw, or grain, so he's chayav when he carries out enough to feed his cow. Can everyone just mute themselves if everyone's not muted already? Eitza kimlo pi gamel. We'll see in the Gemara in a second what Eitza is. So if you carry out Eitza, then you're chayav when you carry out enough to feed your camel. Amir kimlo pi tale. When you're carrying out grain, so then you're chayav when you carry out enough to feed your lamb. Asavim kimlo pi gedi. When you're carrying out grass, you're chayav when you carry enough to feed your goat. Aleishim ba'ali b'tzalim lachim kigrogeres yiveishim kimlo pi gedi. When you're carrying out the leaves from garlic or from onions, so if they're moist, then you're chayav when you carry out the size of a fig. If they're dry, then you're chayav whenever you carry out enough to feed your goat. Ve'ein mitzdarvin zem zem neishalo shavu b'shiurim. The Mishnah says that all of these shiurim do not combine with one another because they're all different. So, for example, if a person were to carry out, let's say, I don't know, enough straw, but you know the straw was only enough to feed, let's say, half of the cow's diet, and then he was going to carry out enough grass for half of the goat's diet, that would not combine together to make him chayiv. He has to carry out the full amount of each item for that particular shear. So the Gemara...
All of these things are, of course, I assume, by shogeg, correct?
Well, I mean, b'shogeg...
Or do these shiurim also hold by maize?
No, these shiurim would hold by maize also, meaning again, the same way that a person is not chayav malkus unless they eat a kezias of chazir, so you're not chayav misa unless you carry out, you know, X amount of whatever item it is that you're carrying out. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara wants to know my eitza. What was that second thing in the Mishnah we mentioned, you know, enough eitza to feed your camel? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda teven shel minei kitnis. It refers to the straw of certain types of legumes, of certain types of beans. Ki asa Rav Dimi Amar, hamotzi teven kimlopi para legamel. What if a person carried out enough straw, but instead of feeding straw to your cow, you're feeding it to your camel? Because remember, in the Mishnah, the straw is meant for the cow, and the beans are meant for the camel. So I'm carrying out enough straw that I could have fed my cow, but instead of feeding it to my cow, I'm feeding it to my camel. So the question is, am I going to be chayav for that? So the Gemara says, so Gemara has machlokes. Sorry, can everyone just mute themselves if they're not muted already? There's like a lot of background noise. Okay, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Chayav, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar Pater. So we have a machlokas. Rabbi Yochanan says that you're Chayav if you carry out, in other words, if you carry out the amount that would have fed your cow, but you carry it out for your camel, that's still enough to be Chayav. But Rish Lakish says that you're Pater. However, the Gemara says, Be'orta Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, with Safra Hadarbe. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan in the evening changed his mind. In other words, in the morning, Rabbi Yochanan thought that you're Chayav, but then in the evening, he changed his mind and he agreed with Rish Lakish. He said, no, really, you're Pater. And the Gemara explains, Amar Rav Yosef, Shapir Ava Dahadar, Dahalo Chazi Legamo. So Rav Yosef said he was right for retracting his position because he didn't carry out enough food to feed his camel. Because the assumption is the camels are eating more than the cows are, right? So because he didn't carry out enough food to feed the camel, even though he carried out enough food that would have fed his cow, he's still going to be Pater. So that's according to Rav Yosef. However, Amar Le Abai Adarabba, Kidime Ikarim Estabra, Dahachazi Lepara. But Abai says it's not true. Abai says that the opposite is the case. In other words, what Rabbi Yochanan originally thought is the case, that his chayiv is the correct halacha, because at the end of the day, he carried out enough food to feed his cow. So again, there seems to be a machlokas here, how exactly we pask in the halacha. So the Gemara explains, Ela ki asa Ravin Amar, Hamotzi Teven Kimlopi Paro Legamal, Dechule Amalo Pligi Dechayiv. If a person carries out enough straw to feed his cow, but he carried it out for a camel. So according to Ravin, everyone agrees that you would be chayav for that. Ki plige, so the word says, b'motzi eitza kimlopi para lepara. The machlokes is, says Ravin, if a person carried out enough of the eitza, remember the eitza were the beans, which is normally the camel food, so instead of carrying out the camel food to the camel, you gave the camel food to the cow. But you gave enough of the food that the cow would normally eat, but in other words, but the problem is that you gave him the wrong type of food. You gave him the camel food. So what will the halakha be in that case? So the Gemara says, ve'ipcha imar. It will be the opposite of the previous case. Rabbi Yochanan amar pater, Reish Lakish amar chayev. Rabbi Yochanan amar pater, achila al yedei hadchak, lo shma achila. According to Rabbi Yochanan, you're going to be pater in that case because that's not called the type of food that the camels usually eat. I'm sorry, the cows usually eat. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you're going to be pater. However, Reish Lakish amar chayev, achila yedei hadchak, shma achila. Whereas Reish Lakish will say that you're chayev because at the end of the day, this animal could eat the food if it tried. It's not impossible for the cow to eat the camel food. Therefore, Reish Lakish would hold that you are going to be chayev at the end of the day. Okay. I think there are people who are still not muted. Can everyone just make sure that they're muted? Because I still hear a lot of background noise. Is everyone muted?
So, Rabbi, as the moderator, you can mute people.
Where do I do?
Participants, just click on their mute button.
Let me see. Okay, one second. I see. Okay, I got it. Okay. Got it. Okay. Fine. Okay, thank you. Okay, so
why should the law of carrying be dependent on what
each we mentioned this point yesterday. We said that the shear for all of these different things, again, we'll see that there's a little bit of a machlokas about this, as we'll see as was coming up in a little bit, is basically a reflection of chashivas. And, right, in other words, each of these items that you're carrying out, when the Mishnah says, you know, if you carry out X amount of this item, you're going to be chayav, that's a reflection of the chashivas of the item. So you need to carry out a certain amount of each particular item in order to be chayav. Okay. Then the next thing in the Mishnah you said was,
go ahead. These are all food items.
Okay. We're going to get there. We're going to spend about the next 10 dafim talking about this. So we'll see. There's a lot to discuss. We'll see. Okay. So then the Mishnah said, Amir kim lo pi tale, when it comes to carrying out grain, you're chayav when you carry out enough to feed your lamb. So asks the Gemara, v'hasan dekigro garis. Doesn't the Braisa say that you're chayav when you carry out enough of the grain to, you know, the size of a fig? The Gemara says, yeah, edv chachiu ruhu, the size of a fig and the amount to feed your lamb are the same thing. Okay. Then we said, aleishum ale betzalim lachim kigro garis v'yaveishim kim lo pi hagdi v'ein mitzarfen zemzem neshalo shavu b'shiuran. When you're carrying out the leaves of garlic or onions, if they're moist, then you're chayav when you carry out a fig's worth. If they're dry, then you're chayav when you carry out enough to feed your goat. And we said that all the shiurim in the Mishnah do not combine with one another because they're all different shiurim. So the Gemara explains, Amar Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina, Ein mitstarfin l'chomer shebahen, aval mitstarfin l'kal shebahen. So comes the Gemara and explains that when the Mishnah says that these shiurim do not combine with one another, what that means is that they don't combine l'kula, but they would combine l'chumra, meaning some of the things in the Mishnah have a larger, you know, have more leeway basically until you violate the issur of carrying, and some of them have a smaller shear, right? So in other words, when the Mishnah said that these shiurim don't combine, that meant that it won't combine l'chamur shebahen. In other words, it won't combine for the larger shear, which is actually a bigger kula, but it will combine as a chumra to make you chayav for a smaller shear. So for example, if let's say a person were to carry out, let's give the example, the contrast between the cow and the camel. Remember we said in the Gemara before, the camel eats more than the cow does. So if you were to carry out, let's say, part of the cow's diet and part of the camel's diet, that would combine to make you chayav because it's a more machmir shear. But if you did it in the opposite way, then it wouldn't combine. Again, the Gemara's point is that these shiurim do combine as a chumra to make you chayav, but they would not combine as a kula to get you off the hook.
What's chamur? The quantity?
Yeah, exactly. In other words, the more that you require of an item to get, in other words, to be chayav, that's a kula, right? Because I need to carry out more of this item in order to be chayav. For other things, the shear is much smaller, right? Like, you know, the shear of how much a goat eats is obviously much less than that of a camel, right? So the assumption is that when you're trying to combine the shiurim as a chumra, so that we can do, but as a kula, we're not going to do that. So the Gemara asks here, v'chol delo shavu b'shiu rayumi mitstarfin? Is it really true that because these items have different shiurim, that's why they don't combine? V'hasnan, but we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, ha-beged gimel al gimel v'hasak dal
Now,
Taima deruli li tami moshav. Aval ein roi li tami moshav lo. The Gemara here is referencing a halacha regarding tuma. So we know, and again, we mentioned this way back in the second parak, that in order for certain types of items to become tame, they need to be a minimum size. So for example, for a piece of fabric from a garment to become tame, it has to be at least 3x3 tvachim. For a piece of sackcloth to become tame, it has to be at least 4x4. For a piece of leather, it has to be at least 5x5. And for a reed mat, it has to be at least 6x6. And the Gemara comments on this Mishnah and says, what if I have a combination of the two, right? What if I have half a piece of fabric and a half a piece of sackcloth, or half of sackcloth and leather, or, you know, any form of these combinations? The Gemara says, then they do combine. Why do these different materials combine together? So Rabbi Shimon explains, because all of these materials have one common denominator, which is that they're all re'uyin li tame moshav. They're all fit to become tame if a zav, a nida, a zava, someone sits on these items, right? They can all act as a chair, as a stool, as a rug, or whatever it is that you're sitting on. So the Gemara says the only reason why these different types of items and fabrics and sackcloths and whatever combine is only because they have this one common denominator in that they're all matame moshav. They're all fit for someone to sit on. The implication is that if let's say these items were all vastly different, if they were not all ra'i li tame moshav, let's say, then they would not combine together. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. How could it be that if something is, in other words, if something has a different shear, that means that by definition it's not going to combine. The only exception to that rule is this one kind of a quirky case, because all the things are similar, right? Because all of them have this common denominator that they're ra'i li tame moshav. But in other words, again, just because remember, this Gemara started out quoting Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, who said that there are circumstances when different shiurim can combine as a chumrah. The Gemara says, how is that possible? If the items that I'm carrying out camel food and cow food or whatever, if they're so vastly different from one another, how can they possibly combine? So the Gemara says, no. Amarava, hachanami chazi ledugma. Rava says, yeah, they're not so different from one another, because if you think about it, a merchant, a guy who's selling animal food, would put the cow food and the camel food and the goat food and the sheep food all on the same shelf. He would all sell them out, you know, he would all pile them up together. So the Gemara's answer is that they're really not that different from one another, and therefore they do in fact combine, again, as a chumrah, but not as a kula. Okay, so now the Mishnah continues. The Mishnah says, yeah, go ahead.
I have a pet bird. It takes 3 seeds to feed that bird.
Yeah.
You say is it the basis of what the animal takes to be? Or is it some other...
You're asking if it's subjective or objective. It's a good question. It sounds like from the Mishnayos that we're going to talk about as we go on and really into the next parak, it sounds like it's objective. It sounds like all of these shiurim are like a fixed amount. We'll see. The Gemara is going to debate a lot of these things and try to clarify the parameters of these things. But it does sound like it's somewhat objective. Yeah. Okay.
Why wouldn't they just answer? Why can you make the claim that the food's on the star of the tumor? In other words, if I take a half a pound of oats and a half pound of straw and it's wet or something, it can become tame.
That may or may not be true, but the main focus of our Gemara here is to figure out the shiurim for making yuchaya for carrying. The example of tuma that the Gemara was quoting with the garments and the sackcloth, that was to ask a question from our case, right? In other words, we're saying, if in that case the only reason why they combine is because they're all fit to sit on, implying that if there was a difference, they would not be mitzdarif, how come in our case you can be mitzdarif things l'chumrah if they're so different? The answer was, they're really not so different. So in other words, the case of tuma was really just a springboard to clarify the nature of these halachos. Okay. So the Mishnah now says, Hamotzi ochlim kigrogeres chayiv umitzdarfin zemzem nesha shavu b'shiurayan chutzmi klipasan v'garinayan v'uktzayan v'suban umursanan. The Mishnah says that if I carry out food on Shabbos, the amount of food I need to carry out to be chayav is the size of a fig, and any food item that I carry out would combine to that shear, because every food item is the same exact shear, except how the Mishnah says that, you know, the shells and the seeds and the stems and the bran and the coarse bran, basically all the parts of the food that are not edible, essentially, the according to the Tana Kama, those parts of the food are not mitzdarif. So let's say, for example, I'm carrying out a fruit, but the fruit has like a very large husk or a peel around it that's not edible. That peel or husk would not combine to the shear of a grogaris of a fig to make me chayav. However, Rabbi Huda omer chutzni klipei adashin shemizbashlos imahen. Rabbi Huda disagrees. Rabbi Huda Buddha thinks that in general the husks and the shells and all that stuff does combine. The only time that the husk or the shells do not combine is, let's say, for example, the shell of lentils, because the shells are cooked together with the food. In that case, he says that those would combine because they're part of the food. But otherwise, if they're completely separate, he holds that they would combine. So the Gemara asks, "V'subanu mursana lo mitzdarfin?" Is it really true that the bran and the coarse bran, according at least to the Tanna Kama, that those things do not combine to make you chayav? V'hasna, the Mishnah says in Maseches Chala, "Chamishas revayim kemach va'od chayavin b'chala hein v'subanu mursana." The Mishnah, as again, this is a machlokas in Maseches Chala. We actually referenced this Mishnah way earlier on back in the second parak, that there's a machlokas in the Mishnah Maseches Chala. How much dough does a person need in order to be chayav in the mitzvah of afreshes challah? So one day in the Mishnah in Maseches Challah is what's called chamishas revayim kemach v'od, which is basically 3/4 of a lug plus a little bit more. But the key point from that Mishnah that's important for us is the fact that the Mishnah says that not only am I chayav in afreshes challah if I have 3/4 of a lug of dough, but even the bran and the coarse bran and the stuff that we said before is almost like garbage that I'm going to throw out, that stuff actually combines to make me chayav. So the question is, how come in our Mishnah, according to the Tanna Kamma, we ignore the bran and the coarse bran in terms of making you chayav for hotzah, and yet in the realm of hafrashas challah we hold that it combines? So the Gemara says, no, there's a big difference. Amar Abaye, shekin ani ochel pito be'isa belusa. Abaye says, because sometimes aniyim will eat bread that's made out of coarse bran. In other words, in the case of hotzah, we have to follow what the norm is. So the norm is most people don't hold on to coarse bran, or you know, because it's not edible for most people. But in the case of afreshes challah, because there are people in the world who eat it, therefore it's going to combine to make you chayav in the mitzvah of afreshes challah. Okay, then we said, No, it would not be mitzvah because the standards for hotzah, again, are not subjective. This was Billy's question before. The standards for hotzah are objective.
The question was brought from that.
The question was brought from afreshes challah. So there's a different standard. There's a different standard for hafrashas challah and for hotzah. That's the Gemara's point, right? So when it comes to hafrashas challah, what was that?
So therefore, that's not a good question.
Right, exactly right. Yeah. Okay, so then the Mishnah said, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chutz Miklipe Adashim HaMisbashlos Imahen. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he said that the skins, the outside of lentils, they don't combine to make you chayav because they're cooked together with the foods. So the Gemara asks, Adashim in Poland Lo, does that mean that only lentil skins don't combine, but the skins of the beans do? Because the skins are also cooked together with the food. The Vahasanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Chutz Miklipe Poland Vahadashim. And the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda says that the skins of beans and of lentils don't combine. So the Gemara says, Lo kashya, habichadete habatike. It depends if the beans are old or new. So the Gemara says, Atike my time alo. Why do the skins of old beans not combine? Amarabi avo, mimnesha nirin kizhuven baka'ara, because they look disgusting. They look like flies on your plate. In other words, people are disgusted by them. They're not going to eat them. So that's why they're not going to combine. Okay, hajun alach klagad. So now we're going to start the next part. This next part literally is just a continuation of what we were just talking about before. So the Mishnah continues. Hamotzi yayin kedemezigas akos. So how much wine do you have to carry out to be chayav on Shabbos? Enough to dilute a cup of wine, which again we'll see in the Gemara in a second how much that is. Chalav kedei gemia. When it comes to milk, you're chayav when you carry out enough milk to swallow in one gulp. Divash kedei liten al pi akasis. When it comes to honey, you're chayav when you carry enough honey to put onto your sores. Honey, if a person has like chafing on their skin. Shemen kedei losuchei verkat. When it comes to oil, you're chayav when you put on enough to anoint or to smear onto a small limb of your body, which again, we'll see in the Gemara what that means. Mayim kedei lashuv b'hem esakilor. When it comes to water, you're chayav when you carry out enough water to put over like a sore on your eye, to use as like a salve for an eye patch. U'sha'ar kol hamashkin b'revias v'chol hashovchin b'revias. So then the Mishnah says that any other liquid other than the things that are listed in this Mishnah, you're chayav when you carry out a revias, which is what we usually assume is around 3.3 ounces. And also the Mishnah says shovchin, which is basically like sewage water or wastewater, you're also chayav when you carry out a revias. Reb Shimon says, however, the Mishnah says, Reb Shimon Omer, kulan b'revias. Reb Shimon says that all of these shiurim are go- going to be a revius. And he says, "Velo nemru kol hashirun halalu ela lamatzni." And we actually alluded to this opinion of Reb Shimon at the end of the previous parak, right? Where Reb Shimon was the one who told us that all of these shiurim that we've been mentioning in our Mishnah are really are only discussing cases where you're storing something. Right? Again, remember we said we spoke about this yesterday, right? That according to Reb Shimon, these shiurim are a reflection of chashivas in a case where I store them. But if I were to just carry out the item stam without first storing it, so then these shiurim are not a reflection of Chiyuv according to Rabbi Shimon. Okay, so the Gemara now explains each of the cases in the Mishnah. Tana, kidei mezigas kos yafe. When the Mishnah said that I'm chayav for carrying out enough wine to dilute a cup, it refers to a kos yafe. What does that mean? My kos yafe? It's a kos shel bracha, right? Like, let's say, for example, a kos that you're using for, you know, let's say for benching, right? When you bench on ala kos, that's called a kos shel bracha. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bar Avua, kos shel bracha tzarek sheyehebo rova revias, kidei sheyim zegenu viyamor al revias. Comes the Gemara and says that a kos shel bracha requires at least a rova revias, which is a quarter of a lug, which is an eighth of a lug of undiluted wine, so that when you dilute it, you'll have an actual revius of wine together with water in your cup. So Amarava Afana Nami Tanina Hamotzi Yain Kide Mezigas Kos. So that's what it says in the Brice as well. In the Mishnah as well, that you have to carry out enough wine to dilute a cup. The Sani Allah Kide Mezigas Kos Yafe, and we explained that means a kos yafe. The Katani Seifa Usharkal Hamashkin Virivius. And the Seifa of the Mishnah says that when it comes to other liquids, so you're chayav when you carry out a revius. The Rava Latame, this is Rava Lishita. So the Amarava Kochamra de Lodari Achatlas Ma. According to Rava, the ratio of dilution between wine, between water to wine, has to be 3-1. Meaning, according to Rava, the wine that you have in your cup has to be so strong and so potent that it requires a ratio of 3 parts water to 1 part wine in order for that to qualify as like a chashiv type of a wine. So Rava says that's the shear for dilution for that type of wine. So Amar Abai, so Abai disagrees. He says shtei tshuvas b'davar. He says I have two problems with this. Chada, first of all, this now in the Mishnah. Nida says, the Mishnah Maseches Nida is discussing various colors of red or shades of red that would make a woman Tamea. We assume lahalacha today that if a woman sees any shade of red whatsoever, she's automatically Tamea, because we're not experts to be able to differentiate between various shades of red. But technically, the Mishnah Nida says that there are really only 5 shades of red that would make a woman Tamea as a Nida, or, you know, that would make her Tamea. So one of those shades the Gemara discusses is if, let's say the red stain that she has looks like this diluted wine from the Sharon, and specifically the Mishnah says that the dilution rate is 2-1, not 3-1. So this Mishnah and Nida seems to be against Rava. V'od Mayim Bekadu Mitztarfin. Abaye asks on Rava, how could you tell me that the water is still in the pitcher and it's going to be Mitztarif, meaning the wine has yet to be diluted? If I'm carrying out the wine on Shabbos, the assumption is that I'm carrying out, remember we said before, I'm carrying out, you know, an eighth of a lug of wine, the wine hasn't been diluted yet, so how could the water that I'm going to pour into the wine later possibly be mitzarif to make me chayav? So Amar Le Rava. So Rava responds to Abai. He says no. He says that your questions are not such good questions. So Rava says, don't ask me a question from the Mishnah in Nida about the dilution ratio of the wine that comes from the Sharon area in Eretz Yisrael. That wine was much less potent, so it only required a dilution ratio of 2-1. But regular wine, says Rava, requires a ratio of 3-1. Inami hasam yishem chazusa avolatayim abayi tvei. Or alternatively, you can suggest that maybe the 2-1 ratio is enough to, you know, to basically lessen the color of the wine, to make it not as red, but in terms of the taste, the potency of the wine, that maybe you require a 3-1 ratio. Udeka amar mayim mikadu mitztarfin le'inyin Shabbos midi dechashiv, but you know, v'hanami ha'chashiv. And then in terms of your second question, says Rava to Abai, in terms of the fact the water is still in the jug, so Rava says that doesn't make a difference, because in terms of Hilcho Shabbos, the factor that makes you chayav for carrying is whether it's chashuv. And undiluted wine, says Rava, is also called chashuv, and therefore you're going to be chayav for that as well. Okay, so we'll